This program was brought to you by the Academy Opus Caseus, whose training programs bring cheese professionals to the next level.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses of Seizures. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. We have a really special episode for you today. This is Emily Acosta, and I'm here with our usual Cutting the Curd host, Greg Blaze. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. Greg just got a sandwich delivered by Jack, our engineer, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, I gotta eat that soon.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it really smells delicious. So, good times. A few weeks ago, we had Anna Jewell on the show to talk about her latest cheese journey trip to Oregon, which sounds amazing. For those of you who didn't tune in, Anna is the co-founder of Cheese Journeys, which is a travel company focused on unique food adventures. So Greg and I were talking about cheese travel. It sort of inspired us to think about cheese travel. So on today's episode, we're going to be having a whole bunch of interviews with different cheese folks that we met at an Academy Opus Cassius breakfast at Casa Lula a few weeks ago. But I wanted to turn the tables on you, Greg.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And ask you about a cheese travel story, which I know you have many. Some of them...
I have some.
Not appropriate for the radio, but pick a good one for the radio.
No problem. The best part, or one of the best parts about being a cheesemonger, outside of actually doing the job, which is the best part, just being around the cheese and selling cheese and working at the counter, I think that the thing that most cheesemongers really love is to be able to go to the source where the products are made.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the whole journey to get there, and the realization that the things that you're selling, all the things you thought about them, and all the like locked in memories that you have of them are real, is perfect. And I've been lucky in my time to be able to do that many, many times.
So, what's one good travel cheese story?
I'd say the one that for me always will stand out is in 2001. I was asked to be a judge in an Italian cheese competition. It was being held in the Valle d'Aosta, and I was flown there by Slow Food at the time. And I remember it was right after 9/11. I was not okay with flying. It was brutal. I got really drunk before I got on the plane. They almost weren't going to let me on the plane, and there was an Alitalia flight, and then they gave me a whole row of seats to sleep in because there was basically nobody on the flight. I got off in Milan, Malpensa, and I got put in a BMW or a Mercedes, and like I passed right out in the back seat. And then when I woke up, I was in the mountains and driving up into the Valle d'Aosta. I stayed in the Hotel Bilia, and I remember I was sort of hungover and weary and kind of tossed up mentally, and I walked into this room full of slow food people and Italians, none of whom spoke English. Jesus. But I remember they looked at me, and they were all saying Americano, and Americano's here. And I realized I was about the youngest person in that room by about 20 years, and I thought I was going to vomit, and they were like, "You're late," and but it's Italy, so everybody's always late. So they were used to that. And then I went and tossed my clothes up in this hotel room, and I was like, "I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this. All I want to do is sleep." And instead, I went down into this sort of cool but kind of a funky basement that was in the hotel where we were judging all the cheeses. I met all these wonderful people from Slow Food. And like I said, I was a little shaky, and they wanted to put me to the test right away to see if I was worth a shit or not. And so they gave me a piece of Parmigiano and a knife, an improper tool to break it apart so that we could smell and taste it. And so I was like, screw that. And I asked for the right tools, which they had on a table behind all of them. And so they sort of parted, and they let me use the spades and the prying tools, and I popped the cheese apart perfectly in my hands. I put it up to my face to smell it, and I was like, you know, all my hangover sort of went away, and I remembered why I was there. And after that, you know, they were down with me. Had a great time. Explored the Valdosta and judged Italian cheese. That was one of my best times, my best memories.
That sounds amazing. Great. So without further ado, let's listen to a few more cheese journey stories.
Hi, this is Dave Gibbons. I write about cheese. I have a cheese column with Wine Spectator magazine. And my story is about recently going to visit Roquefort, which is a cheese tourism site like no other. The caves under the town where they age the cheeses, the ovens where they bake the bread to make the mold that goes in the cheese. So we went there, and I was just struck by how beautiful and rural that area is. And we stayed in the nearby town called Millau, M-I-L-L-A-U. Outside my window in the hotel, there was this beautiful 13th century Romanesque church. As we were checking into the hotel, there was a busload of Japanese men checking into the hotel. And I thought, gosh, I wonder what these people are here for. Maybe they're cheese tourists. We went and we were given a wonderful tour of the Papillon Roquefort facility, one of the seven producers, by Hervé Bourgeois, who's their marketing chief. And for some reason, it came up. We were talking about cheese tourism, and I said, well, I saw this busload of Japanese men checking into our hotel. I wonder if they're cheese tourists. He said, oh, no. I met them. They don't even know about Roquefort until... They didn't even know about Roquefort until I told them about Roquefort. They were here to visit the bridge. They're engineers from Japan. There's this... Probably the most famous bridge in the world other than the Golden Gate Bridge. It's called the Viaduct of Millau. It's almost 3 miles long, I think. It's 1,000 feet up in the air. It was designed by Norman Foster, the famous British architect, and some engineers. So they came to see a bridge, and they ran into a cheese guy, and he took them on a tour, and now they're going to take their Roquefort back to Japan. And so, to me, that's just a fun story about international cheese tourism. And sometimes you go to look at a bridge and you find cheese.
Okay, my name is Benton Brown, and I run Crown Finish Caves in Brooklyn, New York. And I'm thinking about a cheese journey that I had in Auvergne, where we went to go visit a Senecterre producer. And as we slowly, like, traveled deep into the volcanic mountains up there, it was covered in snow. Wasn't dangerous by any means, but it was just the most beautiful scenery as we approached. And all the buildings were made of stone, and just I felt like I was traveling back in time. And we went there, and it was the third generation Senecterre maker, and she makes cheese twice a day, every single day. There's no bulk tank. It goes directly into the vat. And I had never really seen that sort of process. And it really just blew my mind of how just difficult and dedicated this job was for this woman. And I also noticed that the children of this woman were not about to continue this program. And so that was a real awakening of what I saw happening in France for Senecterre. The end is coming. And it was just an amazing a trip and looking at all the terroir that was around this farm. It was just spectacular. And Senecterre became my most favorite cheese after that journey.
My name is Miguel Vera. I am a cheesemonger from Denver, and my cheese travel story takes place in Patlachor. Patlachor is a suburb of Pokhara in Nepal. And my sister has been volunteering in an orphanage in Kathmandu for the last 6 years. The first time that I went out with her was 4 years ago. And we decided that we were going to make Mexican food for all these little Nepali kids. So we made chilaquiles, and it was really tough to find any kind of quality cheese out there. My friend Dilu Chowdhury, I'd like to give a shout out to the best young Nepali cheese maker out there, Dilu Chowdhury of Balachor, made paneer, direct acidified paneer, and that was my first cheese making experience. It was the most amazing bland cheese that I've ever tasted, and nobody understood what chilaquiles or piñatas were. That's my cheese story.
Hi, I'm Heather Porter Ingwall with Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and my cheese travel story is when I was actually a student in Leiden, Netherlands, and we went on a student tour where we got to ride bikes through the country of the Netherlands and then ride a ferry across to an island that's called Terschelling. And we went to a Farmstead Gouda operation, and it was like my first time that I'd ever been on anything like that. And it was this small family farm where they were making the traditional goudas, and it was really incredible. And who would have thought 20 years later I would be in the cheese world representing great Wisconsin cheesemakers. And you know, it all kind of started on my trip in college.
Hi, I'm Laure Duboulot, and I'm French. I work with the Hervé Mons cheeses. I think one of my favorite cheese travel story is when I go back home in the French Alps, and we can go visit some great Reblochon producers that make some of like the most amazing raw milk cheeses. And just being able to see them working with the raw milk and seeing those beautiful cows and the way the product tastes at the end is amazing. So,
hi, this is Sue Sturman with the Academy Opus Cassius, and I have a fun little travel cheese story from early in my career in cheese when I was working at the Ritz Escoffier École de Gastronomie Française, the cooking school at the Ritz. I was starting to teach cheese classes, and my husband and I took a bicycle trip up to Normandy, and we were biking around and we stopped. We wanted to find a local cheesemaker, but we didn't know any, and so we stopped at a Relais Chateau hotel and asked the maître d', are there any local cheesemakers that whose cheeses you carry? He said, oh yeah, there's one, and you go down the road a bit this way and then down a dirt path over here. And so we kind of followed the directions, and we came to these big gates at this sort of country manse, and big iron gates, and whippets came barking up, a whole bunch of them, and we kind of rang the bell, and this lovely retired gentleman came up. He used to work for one of the great couture houses. I don't remember which one, Givenchy or Lanvin or something. And he came out, and we said, hi, we want to visit your cheese. He took us in, and he had these Nubian goats, a small, about 14 of them, and he showed us his cheese make room. And I have all these pictures, very, very primitive, of, you know, he just made these fresh ashed goat cheeses. And it was really, really fun. I think it was the first visit I'd ever done to a farmstead cheese make production, and it was just a great, great introduction.
Hi, this is Steve Hall. I work at Zingerman's Deli, and I'm also opening my own restaurant in Ann Arbor called Spencer, and I am an alum of Academy Opus. And I think my favorite cheese, the one that stands out, the cheese trip that stands out the most was the first time I went to Neil's Yard, which I think was just a pilgrimage is probably the best word for it. I'd worked at Zingerman's at the mail order company, and I'd grown up with the Saginaws, who were Zach was working at Neil's Yard at the time. So I was just going to visit, not realizing sort of what I was getting myself into. And you just walk up to the shop, and it's just this small, tiny palace of cheese. And you go in, and they just know so much more about cheese than you thought anyone could know. And the cheese is better than you ever thought cheese could be. And I must have been in that shop. I was in there for an obnoxious amount of time without buying anything. And I think I tried every cheese on the counter before they kicked me out. But yeah, that one stands out as just one of the best cheese places I've ever been.
It's Jess Perry with Fromagex. So my favorite cheese travel story is not really cheese related, but driving in the Basque Country, listening to Siri on our GPS try to pronounce all the Basque street names and just completely butcher them. And we were a little bit tipsy from some Rioja, so that didn't really help, but those are my favorites. Driving around foreign countries with GPSs that try to pronounce the foreign names. Yeah.
I'm Brian Kaiser from Casalula Cheese and Wine Cafe. I have two quick cheese travel stories. Before I opened this restaurant, I did a trip driving around the Pacific Northwest visiting cheesemakers. And I'm a restaurant person, so I'm a nighttime person. And all the cheesemakers I would call would be like, yeah, come on over. Just be here at 4:30 and you can watch the milking and then you can watch the cheesemaking. And so I was getting up like what is the middle of the night for me to go drive out into the middle of nowhere in Oregon and Washington and Northern California to visit cheesemakers. And then one day I reached out to Pat Morford at River's Edge in Oregon. And she said, sure, come on by tomorrow. And I said, what time do you guys start? And she said, we usually get up around 10 and start milking the goats at about 11. And I was like, oh, my God, these are my favorite cheese people in the world. I get to sleep in for one morning. And sure enough, got there at 10. And they were sitting around having coffee and making breakfast. And so for the first time in weeks of visiting cheesemakers every morning and being at work, we were just sitting around drinking coffee and eating eggs and bacon, and then it had to be lunchtime before we finally got out to milk the goats. That was my favorite cheese visit. And then later on that trip, I called Kelly Estrella at Estrella Family Creamery, and she said, sure, you can come watch us make cheese. And I arrived there, and she just immediately put me to work. I spent the whole day washing cheeses, flipping cheeses, sweeping out rooms, carrying buckets of milk. Like, she had absolutely no shame in not treating me as a tourist, but treating me as help. And then gave me the best cheese I've ever had in my life when I left. So that was memorable.
Elena Santigade. I work at Le District. And I had a life-changing cheese traveling experience that happened by accident. I was on a camping trip in England, in the Cotswolds just outside of London, and we were biking and camping, and I didn't bring enough clothing. And this led me to stop at every single pub that we passed along the way to warm up because it was freezing. It was the springtime. I totally didn't expect it. And at every pub, I felt guilty just warming up. So, of course, I got the local cask-conditioned ale and the cheese board. And I had a complete epiphany about English cheeses. I couldn't believe it. I had no idea what I was going to find at these little hole-in-the-wall spots. And I fell completely in love.
Ready? Okay. David Grotenstein. And my story. Here's my story. 1999, we went to England with my family, my nuclear family, for Christmas to visit my in-laws and everybody. And as part of the trip to England, we went into London one day, and we visited Neil's Yard Dairy. And then at this moment, while we were visiting them, Randolph Hodgson, who was the owner, and Lex Alexander, who was a friend of his at the time, who was became the first private label procurer for Whole Foods, who was his friend, happened to be visiting with him for Christmas, and there we all were, all of a sudden, in the store. And the reason they were all there was because they were plugging Stilton's. They were plugging Stilton's for Christmas. So here I was with my whole family, my wife, my kids, my in-laws. We're all wandering through London. And Randolph and some of his family and everybody else. And so they were going to plug Stilton's. So most of us said, we're going to go on and do something else. But I was very curious. And my daughter, who was 7, said, no, I want to stay and try the cheese. So that's what we did. Everybody else left, and my daughter and I stayed and plugged Stilton's with Randolph and Lex and everybody else at Neil's Yard Dairy. And we all tried them, and we all rated them. And my daughter, who was 7, she would try something, and she'd go, huh. Like she knew. And she did know. I think she really did know. And so we all abetted in that process of selecting the Neil's Yard Dairy Stilton's for Christmas that year.
Romanes soup, Jean-Paul Fromagerie. The first big events that I remember about my cheese experience. Cheese experience, actually. I did a business school, and I have to spend 6 months in Sweden, Sweden north for a European country. And I went to the supermarket to have like some good piece of cheese, and I went and I said, oh my God, there is a just Philadelphia, you know, like the melting cheese. And I say, I would like to have some good cheese, and I say, I'm the middle of the nowhere. Up to the north, it's like was minus 20 degrees Celsius. I was freezing myself. I say, I need some cheeses. And I went and I saw just Philadelphia. Oh my God. And one guy, he told me, look, there is like a piece of Bethmal. And I say, oh my God, you are joking. I say, no, no, but this is French, French cheeses. I say, yeah, we should take this one. And after, we bought the, this piece of camembert, it was actually. And every time you say, yeah, I remember France. This was a great time ago. And since that, we came back to France to enjoy some French cheeses. It was my story.
Arnaud Gauthier, sales manager of Lince Cheese Dairy. In 2007, it was the first time I came in the United States. And I pushed the door of a cheese store. And I said to the sales people, I am the sales manager about Lince who produces the Delices de Bourgogne. And the sales people don't. No, that is the reality. And she said, no, it's not true. So I give my business card, and they saw that I was really the sales manager of Cheese Dairy Lince. And said, oh, it's so incredible. You are the producer. And we take a lot of picture together. And oh, I was so excited to show that my cheese is one of the store in New York State, in New York. It was really a better experience for myself.
Okay. Hi, my name is Rachel. I am the French cheese ambassador, and this is my travel story. So the Monday of Memorial Day, I was flying out to Dallas, and I had a rental car. So I live in Oakland. So I have a rental car, and I'm driving the rental car back to Oakland Airport to drop it off and get on my flight. And so I get to Oakland Airport, I drop the car off, and I get on the shuttle to get to the airport, and I realize that I left my phone on the charger at my house, and I don't have my phone. And I'm like, okay. So I can get around Dallas. I can use my computer. I have my, like, Wi-Fi charger. I can do this for a day, and I can have my neighbors overnight my phone to me so that I can have it for the next day. But I had sales meetings, and I didn't have the contact number for the salesperson that I was supposed to go with. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the gate. I'm going to check in, and I got upgraded. So I was in first class. So that's, like, I have total priority to get on the plane. And I check in. I drop my bag off. I run outside. I get a cab. I have 40 minutes before my flight starts to board. I get in a cab. He guns it to my house. I go inside. I get my phone. I get back in the cab. I make it back to the airport in 20 minutes and get on my plane.
Hi, I'm Shelley Martin, and I work for WB Cheese. And I have been in the cheese business for 30 years. I'm very old. And I have so many cheese travel memories. I've learned the entire world, the United States, Europe, through cheese. And I have so many memories, but I'll share one with you. A trip to France in 2000. And at that point, I had been sourcing and selling French cheese in the United States for 20 years. And I just had this image of how they ate French cheese in France and how wonderful it would be and how the brie would just be so flavorful and runny and mushroomy and not just really boring like a piece of chalk. And long story short, I went to this elegant restaurant in Lyon and had a cheese course, and nothing was ripe. Nothing was ready to eat. We had been eating it in a better riper way in the United States than in France. And what was going on was they were sort of adopting the American style, and I was really bummed out. That's number one. Number two, same trip, there was a big strike in France because of the price of gasoline, and the farmers revolted. And we couldn't get anywhere because there were massive tractors in the streets blocking our way. We were in a van with like 10 cheese people traveling from dairy to dairy. And really, it was kind of like being in a World War II 1940s film. We had to like secretly at night go to and have people gas up our vehicle. And so what happened was we would go out of the truck and we'd talk to the farmers and say, "We support you. We're here for cheese. We're all about you." And they would like say, "Okay," and like move the tractors, and we'd get by and tell us where to get the trucks. And Americans never have that experience, and that was because of cheese as well.
Hi, I'm James Coogan. I work for Fairway Markets in New York City. And Emily asked me to tell a cheese and travel story, which made me kind of get sentimental, actually. I started to think about Spain and my dear dead friend Bill Devon and eating sheep's milk cheese out of a can cured in olive oil at a calzotada in Tarragona, Spain, is one of the things that I just will never forget. It's indelibly etched into my memory. It was absolutely amazing. Can't be.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ciano from World's Best Cheeses. And I come to mind the biggest story of cheese was my first trip that I took 10 customers with me to England. And we had flown into London, and we did a long journey where we had a rented bus where we drove up to North Yorkshire and visited Hawes Wensleydale. We were about a half hour from the Scottish border, and it was so beautiful, seeing the rolling hills and a little bit of snow on the grass and the sheep running in the meadows, and it was unbelievable. We stayed in a castle with four-poster beds, and it was just amazing trying the Wensleydale cheese on the farm, and we were trying sheep Wensleydale, and it was just so wonderful because we got to go down into the town and meet people there, and we went into a classic pub where everybody's singing songs, and all the Americans joined in, and it was such a sense of camaraderie and like an instant welcome into this community and supporting of the product. And it really was wonderful when you taste the cheese there, because it really imparts the flavor of the farm and the dairy in the product. And, you know, some of it was really animal-y, and you feel like you just licked a sheep, but, you know, it was really something special that you remember, you know, for years to come. So, thanks.
My name's Aaron Kurtz. I work at Forever Cheese. And here's my cheese adventure. I wanted to talk about the Sotto Cenere plant. We went to go see their cheese being made, and it was my second trip to Italy, so I became more obsessed with like the milk coming in. I had noticed like it wasn't just about the milk being in the vats already, but it comes from a farmer, and you can actually see the milk come in on a tractor. We saw it come in with Parmigiano, and I thought, I'm going to watch the milk coming into this plant. And they had said, we got there early enough, that they had said there were four milk sources, and there's only one in the container. So I thought, oh, wow, I should look for the other milk sources. And so I looked out back, and there was like this beat-up VW-type van with a milk thing in the back of it, and that was the second milk source. And then so my friend and I were like, let's keep looking at these milk sources. You know, we can kind of keep track with our other visitors. The third milk source came in like another kind of ramshackle truck. And I kept thinking like, okay, one more milk source. And this older lady walks in with a hand truck and a thing of milk. And I remember, I was like, that's the fourth milk source. I was like, that's incredible. You know, and I think of this cheese as like this, you know, cheese that's everywhere, and it's and actually like the milk sources can come from like very small places, and so that was just this incredible moment of realization that you might think something's really big, but you know when you actually go back to visit the roots, that these are really old world traditions, and you know I'll never forget it.
William Emery, I am in sales and development with Pondini, and I am a cheesemonger at Italy NYC. So my favorite cheese journey is probably being in this business. It was a passion of mine. Cheese has been a passion of mine for about 10 years. And I just, about a year and a half ago, got into the industry. I met a great group of people. I worked at a little shop first, which curated a bunch of like really, really American farmstead artisan cheeses. And then I, you know, moved on to Italy with Greg Blaze, and he was a real mentor of mine there. And you know, throughout that period at Italy, I mean, you know, you just sold a lot of cheese. And in addition, I started going on travels of my own, visiting small, you know, farms in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, upstate New York. And they really, really touched me in a way that I saw how hard they worked, their ethic, their passion for making cheese and being a part of the industry. And that inspired me, you know. So I wanted to instill that same ethic in my workplace and what I did. And I think I did. Now I've landed at sales with Pondini Cheese, you know, organic purveyor of, you know, Italian, Spanish, and American cheeses. And yeah, we're gonna see where it goes from there. The journey will continue, and I think who knows, Europe, America, I don't know where I'll end up, but it'll be somewhere in cheese, and I'll be here for the rest of my life. I can say that.
Thanks for listening to Cutting the Curd. Thanks again to Sue Sturman and Brian Kaiser at Casalula and at Academy Opus Cassius for hosting a wonderful breakfast a few weeks ago. And tune in next week for another episode of Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.